Welcome to 43rd and Woodland, the intersection where family and science forge together. I'm Sean Ahern, class of 2019, and I'm your host. Excited to bring you another episode for your personal and professional development. I know what everyone is thinking right now. Where is Jared? Well, Jared turns from the interviewer to our special guest as 43rd and Woodland kicks off its July series, Proven Everywhere, as we sit down with alumni over the next 4 weeks who took non-traditional paths either during or after their time at U-Sciences. Well, without further ado, let's get into it. Welcome, Jared.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here as a guest, finally.
Yeah. How does it feel sitting in the hot seat?
It's a little bit weird. I don't know. I think it'll go fine, but I'll knock on wood right now.
Yeah. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. We'll see. So as you know, I mean, we decided to do this series here, Proven Everywhere.
We did.
And excited when we were thinking of guests. I mean, of course, you came to mind right away. And I think with that, it starts with our first question of just giving us a little bit of background of who you are, really, as you kind of already alluded to in the previous episodes, and how you got here and where you are today.
Yeah, so I am a graduate of U-Sciences, class of 2016. I ended up getting a Bachelor's of Science in Humanities and Science at the time, which I believe has now turned into the Medical Humanities program, but same place. You know, my background, I've been a South Jersey boy, born and raised, skipped over the river to Philly to come to U-Sciences, thinking that I wanted to be a pharmacologist. And so I entered as a pharm tox major in 2012. And yeah, since then, you know, like I said, I got my bachelor's degree. I ended up jumping back across the river to Rutgers Camden, got my master's in public administration. I just finished up a second master's of science in public affairs, and I'll be starting my PhD in public affairs in the next couple of weeks. Comps are coming up, which I'm extremely terrified about. But assuming all goes well, then I'll start my dissertation in the next couple of months. And all of this has like a community development focus or a concentration. So that's kind of where my path has kind of started from and where I am now. You know, I started out as a pharm tox major and ended up a community developer.
Yeah. And congratulations, by the way, on getting that second master's.
Thank you.
There's so many titles at the back of your name now.
There's only two. I mean, if you want to add the bachelor's, there's three. But yeah.
And I guess for people that, again, take traditional routes, like for me in particular that did pharmacy, I will be quite honest with you. When you first told me public administration and having that community development focus, I had no idea. And until you had to explain to me a little bit more of what you really do day in and day out. So if you could shed some light on our listeners,
yeah,
what you're really doing right now and getting that PhD in.
Yeah, definitely. So my first master's was in public administration. I started at Rutgers Camden in 2016, so like right after I graduated U-Sciences. I actually moved into Camden with my girlfriend, and we lived downtown for 3 years while I was doing that. So the program itself, you know, public administration is really this higher level organizational thinking about the way that public institutions run. So we're thinking about mainly local government, but you're also thinking about state or federal government, public agencies like, you know, a department of state, right? Like in the federal government. These are the people who actually do government work day to day. You know, public administration degrees really teach you about the ins and outs of how to make really smart, logical, but intentional decisions in policy making and in running governments. So, you know, my dream job would probably be one day to work for and maybe even run the Department of Community Affairs in New Jersey. So this is a state agency under the local or under the state government that specifically focuses, as its name suggests, on community affairs. So all things to do with how local governments run, the way that they're funded, tax reports and local government services, legislative services, all the things that people need really as an infrastructure to run their local governments from day to day. And so that's what a public administration degree is in. But obviously, again, like I mentioned, this had a concentration in community development. So community development is a very broad term in the way that we think about it. Actually, we, you know, Sean, you and I had actually been introduced to the phrase pretty often as resident advisors, because that was almost essentially our jobs, is to develop community as resident advisors. You know, you're in charge of a group of people. But not necessarily just in enforcing rules, but to really bring out the best in people, to have conversations with them, to connect with them, and to make them feel like they're at home, right? So it's the same thing on a much larger scale in the work that I do now is still in community development. So, you know, having conversations with folks, figuring out what matters most to them, why they are a part of the community that they're a part of, what makes them motivated to get engaged and to participate, and to do everything in my power to implement new policies, develop new strategies, create new opportunities for folks to get the best and the most out of their community. And so the same thing with my public affairs degree, public affairs with a concentration in community development is really just, again, another level of this focus on connecting with people, really understanding the ins and outs of public institutions and their role in bringing out the best in people and being able to have them connect more intentionally with the places that they call home. And so the same thing with the PhD that I'm in with public affairs and community development, and that's translated obviously into a dissertation. Right now I'm kind of in the kind of nebulous phase of, I passed all the coursework, but I'm taking comps in the next few weeks. So once I take comps, there's, you know, the proposal defense. Actually, you write the dissertation proposal, then you defend it. If you defend it, then you're finally a PhD candidate and you can kind of go out and do the dissertation work. And so right now, my dissertation proposal is focused on Main Street redevelopment in New Jersey and thinking about the ways that, you know, in almost every small town in New Jersey, there's this kind of Main Street. It might have a different name. You know, there's places in South Jersey specifically, which I'm more a little bit more aware of or knowledgeable of. You know, in Woodbury where I live is Broad Street. In Haddonfield, it's King's Highway. In Collingswood, it's Collings Ave. But these are all main strips where you see a lot of community going on, you know, local restaurants, different nonprofit organizations doing work on the streets. Even local government might have their town hall on that street. And so thinking about the ways that these spaces influence public and political participation is something that I'm really interested in right now. So that's kind of the direction that my dissertation is going in. So again, you know, kind of drawn out version of all the work that I do and kind of the skills and expertise that I've built up through all of those programs.
Yeah, very, very extensive and comprehensive. And I think you're short selling yourself here too. I think your dream job should be, I mean, being president one day. I tell you that all the time. So
I hear that a lot. But I do enjoy sleep too. So
that is true.
It balances out sometimes.
Very, very true. Very true.
Yeah.
And I also know, I mean, outside of school, you also work with local government and you're part of a lot of initiatives. I'm wondering if you could give maybe, or maybe even share your favorite initiative that you worked on so far and how it's kind of tailored towards your degree.
Yeah. So I'm really excited right now. I just recently kind of assumed a new role in alongside a local placemaking nonprofit. And placemaking is this really cool community development theory that says like people are more interested and engaged in places in physical spaces when you design them well. So, you know, thinking about, are there benches? Are things colorful? Are there different interactive activities that you can do in these public spaces? And so I'm working alongside a nonprofit that focuses on placemaking in Woodbury called the FAF Coalition, which stands for Fall Arts Festival. It's kind of where it originated. So alongside that organization, we had applied for a grant called Heart and Soul. And so this was based out of a national model from Vermont. And this organization had partnered with another in South Jersey to create this new initiative called Transform South Jersey. And so they're picking six towns across South Jersey, which is from Burlington and Ocean County south all the way down to Cape May County. And these towns are then going to be implementing these Heart and Soul programs through a very generous $100,000 grant. So Woodbury was just recently awarded that grant. And I'll be directing that work for the next 2 years. And the purpose of this program is really exciting and connects very deeply to community development in the sense that, again, you know, we're talking about these conversations that folks are having with each other is really important because Heart and Soul's model is pretty much centered all around storytelling. You know, the way that you kind of develop a community always has to be really authentic to the people who live there, but also to the people who work there, who play there, who learn there. And so that really, this program really puts that at the forefront in saying that we value stories so much that we want them to be the bedrock of how communities actually move forward and develop collectively. So over the next 2 years, we'll be setting out a plan over these next 2 or 3 months. Within the next 6 to 8 months after that, we're actually going to be going out into the communities of Woodbury, depending on what restrictions with the pandemic look like. We may have to move into some more innovative strategies, but you know, that's part of community development work as well, as being able to adapt. And we'll have those conversations with people about things like, what does community leadership look like? How influential are the local politicians? Do you feel like you can build relationships with people that live in different areas of the city? And really just kind of get this breadth of knowledge and information and experience from the folks of Woodbury, and then translate that into what are called heart and soul statements. Mm-hmm. So these heart and soul statements are basically like core values of the city. You know, the things that people have the closest emotional attachments to that make Woodbury uniquely Woodbury. And so from that, that kind of acts as like our foundation for creating an action plan. You know, what are the concrete steps that we can take over the next 10, 20, 30 years to realize these core values in terms of whether it be capital projects or new programs and initiatives continuously being funded over that time span. And what's really interesting and kind of unique about this program of Heart and Soul is that all the while we're actually going to be fundraising for a community endowment fund. So an endowment fund essentially is kind of like a savings account for the city. It'll accrue interest every year. So there's going to be a continual pot of money that people can pull from. But we're also thinking about this in terms of not just money, but wealth and resources, right? So we're thinking about ways that we could get local businesses more in plugged into stock exchanges so that they can also think about how they're creating continual and sustainable wealth for their businesses. We're thinking about ways that we can have land donated to the city to eventually use for something like a community center or more affordable housing. So it's thinking about what are sustainable ways that we can really invest in the community and its people. And it's a really unique component of any community development program or model that I've seen, which I'm really excited about. So obviously, I've kind of tried my best to connect that all to community development and my background, but it's a very exciting program that folks can learn more about and contribute to. We're really excited to be doing it. And yeah, so Woodbury Heart and Soul has just been kicking off, which is probably one of the biggest initiatives taken on since the beginning of the year, really.
Yeah, and that's truly incredible, to say the least. And I always, looking from the outside looking in, when you have like these big concepts here, that again, like what you're doing, but how you're able to intricately break it down and then make it to these feasible steps that you, as well as others that you're working with, are able to do is truly incredible. And I also appreciate that you're not even just stopping there. Like you said, it's going to take you 2 years to complete this initiative, but even to the longevity of working with the people of Woodbury and the administration there around this is truly incredible. And I know that takes a bunch of talent. And before I jump the gun, I think we do need to go back a little bit and really think, because you go back, I mean, you went from here, but almost what, let's say, I don't want to age you here, but like 6 years ago, 7 years ago, you thought you're going to be a chemist and you go to use sciences and go for pharmaceutical and toxicology. When were you there going from farm tox major to where you are now? And when did you decide to make that change?
Yeah, it was, so I'll jump back a little bit before my U Sciences career, maybe the summer before. So I actually moved to Woodbury my junior year of high school, and I hated it. I did not want to move to Woodbury. I was like 2 years away from graduating from Williamstown High, which is where I was growing up, you know, all my life. And unforeseen circumstances with my family life had led us to move to Woodbury during my junior year. But by the end of my senior year, I had so many amazing experiences coming out of that high school. You know, I had become the president of the National Honor Society. I had started working with the principal. We had actually got this really interesting award, the high school, called the Gaston Caperton Award. And this was in 2012. And so Gaston Caperton was a former governor in, I want to say West Virginia. And the College Board, or the people who make the SATs. And Gaston Caperton Award was like this prestigious award that the College Board was giving out to three high schools across the country. and Woodbury High had received it in 2012. And so the principal at the time, she had actually asked me to kind of be like her student liaison as they were coordinating the whole, there was like this whole big to do, this whole ceremony for like a 3-day span. And so obviously I took it just because I got out of class for 3 days.
Of course.
But also because I got to meet with like a lot of these different staffers who are like on Blackberries and they're running around and like passing off memos and they're like trying to coordinate all this stuff. And I'm like, wow, this is kind of like fast paced. This is really interesting. It's so cool. Mm-hmm. But I put it to the back of my head because I still knew that I wanted to be a scientist. And at the end of graduation, I had gotten this scholarship and was asked to speak as one of the awardees and just kind of like thank everybody for the award that they had given me. And I guess, you know, a woman who was there at the luncheon was a councilwoman in Woodbury, and she had heard me speak, and she approached me afterwards and said, "You speak so eloquently for a young man, like you're very intriguing. And I just, you know, I want to invite you to this thing that City Hall is doing in a couple weeks. It's called Students in Government. And basically here in Woodbury, they used to do Students in Government. So you would have high school seniors attend a city council meeting. And it was basically like a mock city council meeting. So high school students could pretend to kind of like legislate for the night. There would be like a roll call and they would like go over these resolutions. And so I was a city solicitor that night. And I got to sit in the city solicitor's chair up in the council chambers, which was a really cool thing. But again, I put that to the back of my mind. I was like, I'm going to school for a science degree. So I put that to the back of my head. I started the prep program at U Sciences, which is the summer program that they have there. And it was probably late in August. Obviously, 2012 was President Obama's reelection campaign year. Mm-hmm. And surprisingly, Michelle Obama was going to be doing a rally at the ARC. And it was the exact same day that we had a math test. I think it was a math final. And so Professor Kim Truck, we had to like pull her leg like vigorously to let us go to this rally and to reschedule the math final. But she was, you know, obviously it was Kim Truck. She's amazing.
Yes.
She let us. So we got to go to this rally and we get to, you know, I literally got to meet Michelle Obama. And, you know, so again, I put that to the back of my head. I was like, I'm still going into pharmacology. I still want to be a scientist. But at this point, like political stuff is kind of like pounding me in the back of the head. Yeah. And it really hit me. It was the very first semester, probably in October. There was a DNC speech that I watched for my English class. Mm-hmm. And it was something about the way that Barack Obama was speaking during this speech, you know, during his address at accepting the Democratic nomination. And obviously this was like a rerun essentially that I was watching. The DNC had happened earlier in the summer, yeah. But it was a rerun and I had watched it to try and write this paper. And by the end of the speech, something had kind of hit me, I guess, like after all of these little political science or like political kind of, you know, nudges, I was like, I think I want to get into politics. And mind you, this is the first semester of me becoming a pharm tox major. And after so many, like literally 5 months of people trying to hammer politics into the back of my head, I was like, I think I want to go into politics. And I really wrestled with that for about another year and a half. But what really started my journey into thinking about switching majors was Dr. Buffner in the humanities department. And unfortunately, Dr. Buffner is now passed, but he taught a class called Belief and Thought. And I guess he kind of just kind of, you know, again, this was like October of my second semester. I was a sophomore at U Sciences at the time. I guess he kind of picked up on the way that I like wrote or like, you know, just my kind of inclination and my attraction toward larger philosophical thinking. And he had encouraged me. He was like, you know, I think that you might be actually much more well-suited to be in the humanities program than in pharm tox. And I was slightly almost kind of offended at first. I was like, you know, I'm a pharm tox major. How could I be anything else? You know, how could I change majors? How could I do that? And he slowly, very, very slowly, we would have meetings, we would have coffees. He would actually slip the humanities curriculum into like little pages of my notebook sometimes. Oh, and I'd randomly find them. He was an amazing person. So that was in October. By March of my sophomore year, I had approached Dr. Murphy and I made the switch and I started my junior year of U Sciences in the humanities department. luckily the way that that was set up, the curriculum was set up at the time, most of the science classes that you needed for a humanities and science degree, you would take in your first 2 years. Mm-hmm. So I'd already done that through Farm Talks. So basically the second half of my career at USciences was just all humanities classes. And it was incredible. You know, I think that the humanities department is such an awesome resource for people who are still trying to find themselves and really just kind of think about things on a broader scale. So I definitely credit Dr. Buffner for that switch. And he was really the one who kind of pushed me into the space that I'm at today. So I'll never forget that, you know, everything that he did for me to get me to where I am here 7 years later.
Yeah. It's interesting too. I mean, hindsight's 2020, of course, but when you now you're saying, look, I've had these, I don't know, epiphanies, like something like pushing me in the back of the head to say, look, I should be going into politics. I should be going to public administration with a concentration in community development. And it took you a few years later to figure that out, but now you're here. And I again, just hearing your story, I feel like you made the right decision.
I like to think so. I definitely, I'm definitely happy. I love what I do. I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world. And yeah, you know, it definitely was not the easiest decision to change my major halfway through. But aside from becoming an RA, that was probably the best decision that I made at USciences. Yeah. And of course, even, like I said, USciences, you know, being an RA, that also, like, that was punching me in the back of the head. Every training that we had, there was always some kind of like community development theme, you know, so mm-hmm. that has, it had always been kind of been punching me in the back of the head for a while, even after I had switched majors.
Yeah, of course. And I guess when you got your humanities degree, picking a school to go to, get your master's, get your PhD, mm-hmm. why Rutgers? And were you looking at anywhere else to go? What were your thoughts when applying to other schools, especially, again, starting with Farm Talks and getting your humanities? Did you ever feel like you weren't equipped enough to apply to these schools?
Yeah, it's a really, really good question. So I think that the good thing and the bad thing about being a humanities major or kind of coming out of USciences with a humanities degree is you can still go in any direction you want, you know? Yeah. So I say it's a bad thing because if you're not really motivated or passionate about one certain thing, it can be very difficult to kind of find your next step. But if you are, and you know what it is that you want to go into, it really opens the door to all the possibilities of, you know, the thing that you're passionate about. So I had applied to a few colleges, not just Rutgers, Camden. I applied to a few others, and most prominently I had applied to Princeton. They had a really interesting public policy program there. I don't remember. I think I had gotten on a wait list, which I will count as 100% a win.
I think so too.
But I never took advantage of it, obviously, because I think that Rutgers Camden, you know, Camden specifically was a really interesting place at the time. In 2015, when I was writing my capstone was actually on a state senator at the time who was representing Camden. And that was pretty much the entirety of my capstone in looking at specifically economic development policies going on in Camden. And honestly, we could do a series of podcasts just about what's going on in Camden in terms of their economic development over the last 5 years. Mm-hmm. But short of it was, there was a very interesting state policy that had incentivized a lot of development downtown in Camden to the slight detriment and to the largely unappealing sentiment of the local residents. And it really just kind of sparked my interest in figuring out, well, if you're making a community better, but people don't like it, what's the crux? Like, what's the issue there, right? And I started to really hone in on public policy and realizing that the thing that allowed so much of this disdain for the community and the quote unquote betterment of the city was, the heart of it was this public policy called the Economic Opportunity Act. And that had really sparked my interest in trying to figure out, well, who are the people behind this? How did they create it? Who did they talk to? Like, was it really a community development policy, right? Like, was it something that they had asked the folks who were going to be impacted by this policy about before they put it in place? And at that point, I realized, well, I could be in Camden and asking these questions with the right people. Like, there's going to be plenty of people in the city who know all of these answers. And Rutgers is literally three blocks away. Yeah. So at that point, I looked more deeply into their public administration program and realized that because it had such a strong connection to community development, but it also had a very public-facing approach to actually getting out into the city of Camden, meeting with people, you know, as you wrote your thesis, as you wrote your capstones, you would actually be connecting with the city. Mm-hmm. It just made sense for me to jump over, you know, back over the river and to check out Rutgers Camden for their public administration program. Truthfully, I didn't necessarily plan on going into this new MS PhD program of public affairs. It was probably my second year into the MPA, and the director of the PhD program had approached me, and again, kind of like another Dr. Buffner, this was Dr. Harris at the time, he had approached me and we had started talking about my research interest. And, you know, he said, I think you might be a really good fit for the PhD program. And at this point, I was very tired. Now, mind you, I've been in school since I was four, you know, like since pre-K.
Yeah.
I have never not been in school outside of winter, spring, or summer break. So at that point in time, you know, it's 2017. I've been in school for, you know, 23 years. Yeah. And I was like, look, I'm tired. You know, I don't know if I can do another program, especially a PhD. I've always wanted to get a PhD. I never really knew in what, but I was tired. And he was like, well, you know, if we can find a funding package for you, what would you think about that? And I was like, if you're going to pay for it, my mom would literally slap me into next week if I said no. Mm-hmm. So it ended up becoming this thing where the MS PhD was pretty much the same thing, all the same coursework. I took one extra class to get that second master's degree, and they paid for everything. So I couldn't say no, but it was just a really interesting turn of events that I ended up in Camden, that I ended up getting the MPA and kind of getting stiff-armed into the MS PhD. But really it was about my interest in actually being in the community, doing the work, asking the tough questions, getting responses, and then trying to formulate, well, how do we do this better, especially through the public policy process?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. And to go into it, I know you are so humbled, but I mean, you are so qualified for all of this too. I think you have to give yourself a lot of credit as well. So I'm glad, Dr. Harris, is that correct?
Yeah, Dr. Harris. Shout out to Dr. Harris.
Yeah, shout out to Dr. Harris for this and for getting to you in this program, which has been great.
Yeah.
And you share, I guess it's a great segue to my next question, because you share a lot of points here of how you're intricately thinking of to doing these next steps and asking the questions that aren't asked and answering these very difficult and convoluted sometimes questions of how to get things done. Do you ever go back and look at USciences and your time there has helped you and prepared you for where you are now?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, the great thing about USciences is, let alone the fact that they have a humanities program at all at a you know, the country's first pharmacy school, already opens you up to opportunities to be able to feel comfortable and prepared in doing anything, right? So this idea of being proven everywhere really is pretty true. But while I was there, you know, it was very easy to get engaged in the local community. I started a political science club while I was at USciences. I'm not sure if it's around still. I think I've heard some rumblings that it is alive and well, I hope. It started off as an idea of doing just a model UN, but people were really excited about having political conversations on campus regularly. So we turned it into a political science club. That was very easy. Patty O'Hagan at the time was the person who we were working with really closely. And she was just a darling, obviously, to anyone who remembers or knows Patty. Yeah. I think she's retired now, but just the sweetest lady and just always made things really easy to get done. So that was a big help. I think that USciences definitely made that easy for me to kind of move into that political discourse space because of that. But also the place that we were in, you know, you don't want to forget that you're in West Philly and, you know, very close to the Public Health Center on 43rd and Chester, which I volunteered at sometimes and just kind of got to know people's stories. You know, I would talk to them as they were getting their blood pressure taken or doing intakes and like just talking to them about, you know, their social security or trying to get their kid off the school bus. And it really kind of made me appreciate having conversations with people about their lives, you know, about just connecting with people and figuring out, constantly thinking about on a broader scale, on a higher level, how can we make these people's lives easier? You know, how can we make healthcare more accessible? How can we make education more quality, high quality for their children? Mm-hmm. And public policy had kind of been that focus for me. You know, it really steered me toward looking at public policy. I had even gone so far as to, I kind of flagged down a councilwoman at Councilwoman Janie Blackwell in Philadelphia. I'm not sure if she's still a councilwoman now, but we were at this event. Campus Philly was hosting this event at the art museum one summer, and Councilwoman Blackwell was there, and I had been dying to get her to come to the political science club just to like speak. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've been calling her office, sending emails. I was on the verge of literally handwriting a letter. Like, it was that bad. And she was at this event for some reason at Campus Philly. And there was like this barricade in front of us. And I was with a couple of friends, and I had like this bag on full of like free stuff. And I literally threw it off. I was like, there she is. And I threw it off, and I was like, here, take my bag. And I literally hurtled over this barricade. And I was like, Councilwoman Blackwell, wait, 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 as she was getting into her car. And I'm glad no one like punched me just out of fear.
Yeah. Or security guards.
Yeah, exactly. And she was with someone who was there to kind of escort her. So I'm glad they didn't punch me. But that had kind of given me like a little bit of political advocacy and lobbying and like a little bit of activism kind of juice to feel comfortable approaching people of power, because that's also what, you know, this space that I'm in public policy and administration and community development, it really does take a very strong will to connect with local government and with public officials. And so I had also met with James Roebuck, who was the state representative of the area of Philly that U Sciences is in Pennsylvania. And we had a really great discussion about the political science club, obviously, but it turned into like this hour-long discussion about the quality of education in America. And I've got like selfies with him, and he was just the sweetest man. And so, you know, those experiences I wouldn't have gotten anywhere else, right? Except for being at U Sciences. So having all of those things kind of in my backpack as I jumped back over to the, you know, to the river, to Rutgers, and getting into more public policy and public facing work really just kind of acted as a launching pad for where I am now. So absolutely, U Sciences gave me some of the most unique political opportunities that led me to my career in community development.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And like you said, without going to U Sciences, you wouldn't be able to start this club and get all those experiences.
Yeah.
With that though, with being a non-traditional, I guess, route, we can call it, within U Sciences, what benefits do you see going and having this non-traditional route versus doing the traditional route that U Sciences offers?
Well, I mean, I think that I have always been extroverted, right? Like I get my energy from other people. Mm-hmm. And not to say that there aren't pharmacology or toxicology jobs that would put me in front of people and give me that opportunity. But I think the real advantage of, you know, where I am now is that I get to kind of be my authentic self a little bit more than maybe if I was a pharmacologist kind of working for a compounding company or working in industry where the conversations weren't really, they were only specifically focused on one thing, right? And I obviously don't have as much experience in those industries and could probably be very wrong, but I know for a fact that what I'm doing now is exactly what I want to be doing. And because I get so much energy from people, the work that I'm doing just kind of naturally feeds into that. Mm-hmm. And I think that that gives me really good skill set to be able to do my job well. Whereas I might not have been so lucky or so, it might not have been so advantageous to have an extrovert kind of sitting in a lab for 6 hours a day and not interacting with many people or not having these broader conversations about how policy kind of affects and changes and influences and benefits people's lives. So I definitely think that the advantage of where I am now is that my authentic self can kind of exude into my work. And so I know that I can do my job well because of who I am.
Mm-hmm. Of course. And to say the least, I think you are the most extroverted person I know. So no brainer there. I call myself extroverted, but I think you beat me in that one.
I try sometimes. And I'm a homebody sometimes too. Working from home has actually been killing me just because of the pandemic. But working from home in under normal circumstances or under circumstances that would allow me to be in front of people, I would still probably love working from home, you know, like 4 hours a day or so.
Yeah.
The rest of the time in front of the people, though, I got to be.
Of course, always. Yeah. But I also need my alone time as well.
Yeah.
But back to the podcast, of course, not against my problems. But now looking back again, hindsight 2020, talking to either students or even alum that are possibly thinking of taking that non-traditional route, even again, we have people listening that are outside the university as well. So inside of U Sciences, outside of U Sciences, if they're thinking about taking a route outside of their typical degree or that non-traditional route within U Sciences, what advice would you give them right now? Or what advice would you like to know when you were that student?
Yeah, I would definitely tell students that changing your major is okay. It is very, very okay to do. If that's something that you're considering, if you're thinking about, if you just recently decided not to do it because of family pressure or pressure on yourself. You know, the thing that I think you mentioned hindsight being 2020. I look back on it now, 5 years later, I was a much younger person. Mm-hmm. I was much less developed. I was much less skilled. I had much less expertise in certain things. And I think that we need to encourage folks who don't necessarily know what their path is, what their passion or what their expertise or their skill level is just to encourage them to take the risk in figuring it out, right? And doing that through changing your major is one way to do it. But you should never feel that that decision will ruin your life. And most often, I think, in fact, it will probably change your life for the better. And so I would definitely tell folks, you know, take the risk, because especially as a young person, you've got so much time ahead of you to become better, and you shouldn't shortchange yourself from the opportunity to do that just because, you know, you might not be in a class with your friend like you normally are, or you might be walking past a study group that you once were a part of and now you're not. You know, those things will fade. That semester will be over before you know it. You'll make new friends, you'll have new experiences, you'll learn new things. And the things that you want to learn, right? Like it should be about you while you're in college, bettering yourself, learning the things that you want to learn. So if you need to take that risk, do not be afraid. Take the risk. It's going to be for the best. And, you know, if you need to vent or you need to cry or whatever, you can call me up, obviously as the extrovert I am, and we can talk about it. But yeah, take the risk, you know, be willing to do that for yourself. No, you've got your whole career and your life ahead of you, and it's worth it.
Yeah. I think after this podcast, I'll make sure I say your number. Maybe we'll post it and make sure everyone will call you then. It'll be in all these random calls.
My personal cell is available to all of you.
Yeah. But in all seriousness, I think that's incredible advice. And I think you and I can both agree that even if it's an alumnus that's thinking the same thing right now, it's not too late.
Absolutely.
I mean, still do your job and like what you're doing. I mean, you're still in school and now you can go back to school and get a degree in something that you're passionate in. And not to spoil anything, but I feel like with the next few individuals that are going to be on our podcast for the series might have done that or actually changed careers after they got their regular degree at U Sciences.
Yeah, definitely. I would be, and you know, jumping into my, obviously I'm the co-host of this show again. So
oh, here we go.
I'm jumping into that role again. I am very excited myself about the guests that we've chosen for the rest of the series, because they have kind of played this dual role. You know, they're still slightly in the healthcare field, but they've also done these amazing side careers. So it doesn't need to be either or either, you know?
Exactly, that's a good point. All right, I'm taking over host. Get back into being the guest. Get back on the hot seat. but I think that's a great way to end the beginning of this series. But as you know, when we get to the end, we always have one more question to ask. Mm-hmm. So we've asked you many a times, we both shared our U Sciences memories, and you've actually shared a lot of memories you've had with getting to where you are today. But I'm wondering if you can share maybe one more, and I got to put in quotations, non-traditional memory, either in U Sciences or out of U Sciences that you'd like to share.
Yeah. I feel like I should have probably actually prepared for this. Let me think. Jeez. Well, I mean, there were obviously a lot of memories at U Sciences. I think I don't want to be necessarily corny and say, you know, oh, well, I started a family because I've got a girlfriend and we've got two dogs and a house. Not that I don't love them.
Yeah. Actually, if you're listening to this, Jared does love you.
Yes, please remember that. But I would probably say, you know, anytime I always loved the conversations that I could have with my friends in my Rutgers programs at the bar. You know, my mentor, who was one of my mentors at Rutgers, who was a phenomenal guy, Steve Danley, went to Oxford for his PhD. And he did an incredible dissertation on how communities developed in New Orleans after Katrina. And he recently had a book come out that he finally published called A Politics of Last Resort, which is an amazing read. You know, he said his favorite thing as well was that, you know, every time someone wanted to just kind of like hash out an idea about a theory or a research approach, they would always just go to a bar, they'd have a few beers, and they'd like just basically at the end of the night, it's like a screaming match about, you know, different theories of public administration and governance and nonprofit management. And, you know, like, you can't use the double loop learning theory for this because it doesn't apply to, you know, like, and they're literally, I mean, like, some of those discussions that I had with my classmates, even, especially while I was in Camden, are probably some of my favorite, all-time favorite moments of, you know, just having really smart intellectual experts in a field and being able to just be on their level, having that conversation, having that fellowship and community is something, you know, obviously now I'm, again, dying for. Because all of the bars are closed. But those were incredible memories. And I long for the days that I can, you know, have another one.
I bet. And I guess that's how you get things done, right? You have to meet up at a bar and hatch it out.
Surprise how much actually gets done just at a bar over a beer and a napkin.
Yes, of course. Of course.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Jared, I'm so glad that you got to kick off this series. Again, I know this has been long in the wait that we've been both planning for this, and I'm glad you're the first person to do it. But I will allow you to put your co-host hat back on and share with our guests what they're looking for the next few episodes.
Yeah, thanks. So like I said, we're really excited to be kicking off this Proven Everywhere series with a focus on alumni who have taken these non-traditional paths either during or after their time at U Sciences. And so up next, we'll have Felina Buselig, who is a biology major graduating out of the class of 2015. The week after that, we'll have Stephanie Pham, who was a pharmaceutical healthcare and business graduate, also class of 2015. And then finally, we'll wrap up with Dr. Mayanka Min, who was a PharmD graduate out of the class of 2013. All of these folks have done incredible things, either in conjunction with their healthcare degree or just kind of completely taking that non-traditional path like myself. And like Sean said, we could not be more excited about it. And we're really amped to be bringing you this series over the next couple of weeks. So please keep listening, keep sharing, and we will talk to you all soon.
Yes. Perfect. Couldn't have said it any better, Jared. Thank you again so much for taking the hot seat today.
Thanks, Sean. You did great.
Oh, appreciate it. All right, hope to see you next week.
Yeah.